What's up, everybody? We have 10 minutes here with Mr. Ryan Muckenhern across the table to discuss a great cartridge. A cartridge that's been around for well over a century.
Yes.
At this point in time. Yes. The 3030. Mm-hmm. And how the heck have we not talked about the 3030 yet? We've gotten a number of requests for it, so happy to oblige those requests. Here it is. Ryan, why don't you kick us off?
3030 Winchester, a really historically significant cartridge, and we'll break into what 3030 means and some of the other names that have gone along with it, 30 WCF or 30 Winchester Centerfire. First commercial smokeless cartridge.
Yeah.
Which is
number
big.
Number one.
That's a big deal. 1894. So it's old. Released in Winchester's iconic and still produced to this day, 1894 or 94 for short, lever action rifle. It was the first rifle of many a hunter across this great country. I think a lot of folks started with the 3030.
Now, when Winchester came out with the model 1894, so mm-hmm. And saying, you know, 3030 came out in 1894, mm-hmm. right? So they came out at the same time, essentially.
Hand in hand.
Okay. Was the 1894 a gun that was designed, and then they were like, we need a cartridge for this? Because I know there's certain things about the 3030 that make it really conducive to a lever gun.
Mm-hmm.
Or were they designing a cartridge, and then they're like, we need a gun to shoot this out of, or how did that
I think
work?
They were the tandem development.
Got like it.
They were the pairing. So there was the 1892, which came out, obviously, in 1892, a couple of years before the 94 did, fired, like, revolver cartridges. So it was a companion gun to revolver guns that were already on the scene from, like, 1873 and on. So it fired much shorter cartridges that were actually still technically black powder cartridges. And this jumps into the naming. So 3030, where this came from was it was a 30 caliber bullet with 30 grains of smokeless powder. So if we look at a cartridge like a 3220 or a 4440 that would have been chambered in the 92, it was a 32 caliber bullet on top of 20 grains of black powder, or a 44 caliber bullet on top of 40 grains of black powder. And the 3030 name was interesting that they kept the black powder naming,
mm-hmm.
you know, idea, but it denoted and designated smokeless powder charges. And so what's really goofy, though, is it was the first commercially available smokeless cartridge, but there were other cartridges that had been on the scene for some time that weren't black powder. So like the 7.62 by 5.4R.
Oh.
1891.
I didn't realize that cartridge was that old.
Oldest cartridge still in military use.
Yeah, holy smokes.
Long time.
Wow.
Yep, long time. We were barely out of musket days at that point. There were still people probably fighting conflicts with muzzle-loading firearms.
How about that?
And the Russians had the 7.62 by 5.4R.
Those Russians.
I know. But it wasn't the same.
You're wasn't the same kind on of, the Russians.
It wasn't the same kind of powder, and like the 303 Brits, also very old, mm-hmm. It wasn't the same kind of powder.
They had the kind that looked like the spaghetti noodles,
Cordite.
like uncooked spaghetti yep. angel hair pasta.
We yep. cut one of those open.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
What podcast was that,
smells, Jim? It smells good in about the same way like gasoline smells good.
Yeah.
Realistically, you probably shouldn't enjoy it, but you kind of smell and you're like,
yeah, that's pleasant. Yeah.
Rag full of that.
Okay, 3030. Yeah, great cartridge. Rimmed cartridge, bottleneck cartridge, small case. Obviously, 30 grains of smokeless powder nowadays is a pretty diminutive charge. But mm-hmm. at the time, that was a pretty high step in round, 150 or 170 grain round nose bullet. Not a screamer by any means, but the smokeless powders were putting these newer projectiles, these smaller diameter projectiles than you were accustomed to seeing in rifles, which were a lot of times like 40, 42, 44, 45, even 50. You know, this new, lighter weight, more efficient projectile was rapidly approaching.
My gosh, it was like that day and age of 6.5 Creedmoor.
Yeah, oh yes, absolutely. And from it spawned a couple of other really good cartridges too, like the 25-35, which a lot of people, you know, find too anemic for hunting anything maybe larger than, you know, very small deer or antelope. But that cartridge, and we've mentioned that very briefly in one of our 25 caliber podcasts, was really fast for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Lever gun, you know, same gun, 1894, 25-35, 32 Winchester Special, an interesting derivative of it. You could call it the 32 caliber version of the 3030.
Yeah.
Really kind of the same performance, actually. If you look at the bullet weights used and the velocities achieved, they horse apiece, really. But that cartridge did set precedence towards new cartridge design, new bullet technology, new powder usage, and later on, you know, I think it's responsible for a lot of the stuff that we have today with that shoulder, that tapered body. I mean, everything that you look at the cartridge, and with the exception of the rim and the pretty long neck, resembles about everything else that we have on the modern landscape.
Not all that dissimilar. I mean, you know, it's got a real long neck to it. And then when you see the bullet placed in with that real round nose, usually, unless it's one of the fancy, I was reading about lever evolutions.
Yep. Right.
Those actually don't, they actually maintain a little bit more of an efficient bullet shape because of a,
squishy, soft plastic tip.
Because, you know, the idea was that most of these are being loaded in tubular magazines. Yep. So if you have a pointed tip, what a Spitzer bullet, then you're going to put it in there and it might, under recoil, set off one of those primers in front of it.
And nobody likes that.
No, I think a lot of folks...
Unless you've got a lot of deer in front of you back in the day. And you're just, it's like sustenance style. You know, maybe it's like a double barrel.
You just had to shot that gun one time and hope for the best.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. Talk about a barrel obstruction.
I think I think early on, you know, when 3030 was still a really, really prevalent cartridge on the market, hand loaders had figured out that you could put a Spitzer type bullet in there if you loaded one round in the tubular magazine and one in the chamber. So you'd have a two shot gun.
Okay, yeah.
And, okay.
And you'd really bump up the performance of the 3030 with that 150 Spitzer profile. Because the round nose bullet, you know, it does not have a remarkable BC to say the least. And it's a good, like, 200 yard cartridge.
Well, that's one thing. It's like, it's a great 200 yard gun. And you, I guess, let's look at the timing here. We're talking about the late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at all the other technology that's going on at the time, we don't, I mean, optics are certainly not where they are today. There's certainly no ballistic calculators. Probably a lot of guys running open sights. I mean, your effective range is probably 200 yards, and you've got a pretty solid, really, for the time, like, super modern smokeless cartridge.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, the pluses are all there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at the time.
Yep. And it's still there. I own a 3030. I didn't bring any ammo today, which I felt foolish about as I was on my drive-in today.
Should have brought the whole thing.
I used to, and now I don't. Now I really want one again.
Yeah. It's good round. There's nothing wrong with it. Low recoil. Certainly effective on antelope, on deer, on black bears.
They've taken bigger.
Oh, yeah. I'm certain that, you know, everything in North America has been taken with 3030 Winchester.
I think I was reading here on the old... the wiki said probably about half the recoil of a 30-06.
Oh, yeah. It's very pleasant to shoot.
You know, I mean, 30-06, that ain't the worst thing in the world. So, no. Like you said, that's super pleasant.
Yep, it's very pleasant.
I mean, how many... I just remember growing up, kids would be like, you know, if you ever talked about hunting, and they're the kind of person who maybe, I went hunting once, you know, with my dad, or whatever. Or the first time I went hunting, 30-30.
Yep.
I mean, almost undoubtedly, it's almost become synonymous with dad's gun.
Mm-hmm.
The gun that's in the safe that just kind of gets pulled out, whatever, it's just always there. It's almost like has 22 status.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like everybody's got some 22 where, you know, I mean, even if you don't shoot that much, I forgot I had this. It's in the back. Dad gave it to me, whatever. And right next to it is a 30-30.
Yep.
I swear, you know?
Yep. My cousin's first gun was a 30-30 lever gun. And I remember being a 12-year-old, he was 13 in deer camp, and I had a 308, and I understood at that time that the 308 was more popular, but his gun was way lighter, way handier, held way more rounds, and I thought it was cooler. He didn't have a scope on it, and I remember my uncle telling me one time with that same gun when he was much younger that he actually one-handed a deer with it. He was in his deer stand.
No, pirate style.
And the deer came out to his right, and he said, you could never do this with anything else. He said, but I gripped that thing, and I held it like a pistol, and he shot the deer. I thought my Uncle Paul was the coolest guy on the planet at that point.
That's a pretty baller move.
Don't recommend that.
Paul is a pirate.
Paul's something else. Man's man.
How many rounds are you putting in one of these lever guns with a tubular magazine?
Between probably 3 and 7, depending on the configuration of the gun. The 94 had a huge smattering of options available. They had kind of... a short rifle or a carbine. They called it a saddle ring carbine. It had an abbreviated magazine tube, and then they had a standard rifle. And then later on, they had like a 26-inch gun with a full-length mag tube, and then you could get them from Winchester on the special order status. And this is where it's really cool. If you look at some of these, you could get a full octagon barrel with no mag tube. They call this a button mag. So at the end of the fore end, they just have this little round metal part that caps it, and it held, I think, four. And then you can get a half mag, which later then became the Winchester Model 64 Standard. That's the 30-30 that I have. And then you had a full mag option. You could have a full octagon barrel. You could have all these cool editions or versions of it.
That is cool.
Yeah. They're still available today, which I think is neat.
Talk real quick about the other names it's gone by. It went by WCF at one point. Yep. Some of the other gun manufacturers were like, we don't want Winchester's name in our...
Right. Yep. So if you would look at some of the earlier Marlins, they would have had like 30 WCF on their Winchester Centerfire, just so it didn't say 30-30 Winchester. It was the same thing. It just was stated differently.
Yeah, you don't want... You don't want to have your Marlin with Winchester printed on it.
Right. And so then there was also, you know, 32 WCF or 32 Win Special in that version as well. And 25, 35 had the same designations. There was even a couple of cool Wildcats came out of it. One of them you can still get, I think, loaded ammo from Federal, 730 Waters, which is the same cartridge, just necked down to 7mm. And they even made some flat point bullets for loading in 94s and Marlin 336s that were chambered in 730 Waters. And then there's a couple of like Thompson Center Encore and Contender pistols.
Right.
730 Waters was really popular. 3030 was really popular. There was a really goofy cartridge called 30 Herit that was a cropped, shortened 3030. So it maintained the rim so that you could shoot it in these pistols for a couple of different disciplines that they use, like metallic silhouette. Where you're shooting a pistol at long range targets like 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 meter targets. And that was pretty popular. And then, you know, you're most often going to find these in a lever gun. There were even a couple of bolt action rifles chambered in 30-30.
I was curious about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Interesting guns.
Are they regular magazine fed or are they just
kind
like...
Kind of. Yeah, they're a vertical feed.
Yeah, okay.
But they're not very popular. Very short run. Kind of a cult status. Savage made them. Goofy looking gun, but
would you get one if you had the chance?
I don't think so. I've got my eye on another 64, and I'd like to find a 1910s, 1920s vintage 1894 just for fun. I enjoy hunting with these kinds of guns because it's you got to be closer, and there's something nostalgic about it. So I really dig them. I think they're pretty neat.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it, folks. For all those who were asking about the 30-30, hopefully this gave you that scratch that itch.
Yeah.
I think that's the word I was looking for. But yeah, as usual, if you have any other cartridges, though, that you want to hear about or that you know and love or that are just classics, we got to hit on. I know even we've mentioned a few of them in here. 303 Brit, we got to do. Some of these other ones that we talk about that are a little bit more kind of oddball, but cool. But yeah, otherwise, thanks everybody for listening. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.